your bracket looking? Apparently, yesterday, while shopping for furniture, my national runner-up got beat. So, another year, another busted bracket, I tell you. I do remember picking UConn to win it all back in 2004, so I do have that to hang my hat on. NCAA tournament in full swing. We invite you to come on in for another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network, where the voice is currently at 91.4% returned. Not quite there. Still coughing some. Darndest case of bronchitis I think I've ever had. How are you, friends? Rob Witham here. Got a few thoughts on basketball before we turn our attention to the main focus of this edition of Central Region Now, and that is the unveiling of our first top 10 polls in baseball and softball as the season kind of got underway this past week. In retail, when you open your store for a day or two or maybe a week before you advertise your grand opening, that's what's known as a soft opening. And the reason why you do that is to kind of get a chance to work some of the kinks out that you may not know about before you spend all that advertising money saying, come out to the big grand opening on Saturday. You know, you want to make sure Saturday's not an embarrassment or a catastrophe. So maybe you open quietly on Tuesday and Wednesday and have some people come out and you have an opportunity to go, okay, that's not going to work, or though, okay, that's working well. And that's kind of the way I feel we've done with spring sports, because most everything got postponed on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If it wasn't for the threat of weather, it was the arrival of weather and then how wet the fields were, and then Wednesday, how just brutally cold it was. Nobody wants to have a lacrosse ball hit them in the leg when it's 35 degrees and the wind chill is 15. Don't want to be hit by a pitch either, to be honest with you. And a foul ball taken out the right way would sting those hands. I don't care if you've got 12-inch gloves on. So we got most of our action in Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So some teams who were scheduled to start their season still haven't started. Some teams got a game in. Some teams got more than a game in. If you got more than a game in, you're in the minority. Most teams either haven't played or have one in the books so far. So that means that well over 100 events that got postponed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday got to be replayed at some point in the season. And so that just kind of squeezes things into a shorter period. Makes our job a little bit more difficult in the sense that we try to get to see as many teams as possible, and the hardest season to do that is spring sports because you've got so many games going on in one evening, just pick any evening, but simultaneously. You could go to one school and possibly see three or four games if the layout of the facility is right. For example, we were at Hermitage on Friday night for Patrick Henry Hermitage baseball. That was our primary focus, but softball was right beside us. Couldn't see soccer because it was across the way in Chester Fritz Stadium. The scoreboard's to the other side, so we see the back of it, so we couldn't keep up with soccer. But there are some places you go to where you can actually watch all the action going on at the same time. But there's so many of those scenarios that trying to get to as many teams and as many sports as possible is a daunting task here in spring. So, we will do our darndest to get to see you at least once. Also, we've got our reporters who get out there at games that we're not able to get to. And we had a couple of fantastic reporters on Friday night. Shout out especially to Ryan Baroque. Over at James River High School, giving us updates from what turned out to be the game of the night on Friday between Hanover and James River in baseball, where James River was down to their last pitch in the bottom of the seventh, and 3-2, two out, down by one. It's the thing you dream about in your backyard when you're a kid. Boom, home run, tie game, free baseball. Hanover's able to extract a run in the eighth inning, hold off the Rapids in the end, and the final score was Hanover 3, James River 2. But, man, Ryan, thank you so much for the great updates all night long from over at James River. We'll see both of those teams coming up through the season, and we may be talking about them in our top 10 poll here in a moment. But let me back up to basketball real quick, because we did not get the opportunity, excuse me, to get the wrap-up podcast done late last weekend with basketball. And just to give you our thoughts on what happened at the Siegel Center with the four championship games involving teams in the Richmond area. We start with 2A, Amelia County. What a season. A season that nobody saw coming, and much to that was alluded by their head coach at their press conference following the game. And he was absolutely right. His team was not on our radar, was probably on very few people's radar outside of Amelia County. And coach probably had some people inside of Amelia County not thinking they could make it all the way to that Thursday night final. And they did. They had to face a team they had lost to earlier in the season by 20 points. Very talented team in Robert E. Lee of Stanton. And they played very well in the first half. Then Lee was able to build a lead at intermission. And for as much as Amelia fought and hung in there and made some tremendous plays, Lee was just the better team. It was just as simple as that, and that's why they were able to hold off the Raiders and get the championship. And so congratulations to Robert E. Lee of Stanton, but a hats off to Amelia for a fantastic, and I do mean fantastic, season, all the way to the state championship. One gentleman that I want to talk about real quick. And I normally don't talk about people out of town, but this young man really impressed me. His name is Jarvis Vaughn. Jarvis was one of the leading scorers for Lee in the championship game, and he comes into the press conference, one of three players and the only non-senior to come in with their coach to talk about the win. And there's a large history behind Lee basketball up in Stanton. The head coach, his dad was the head coach for gazillions of years, won 897 games, most all-time in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And he actually took on the task of replacing his dad when his dad decided to retire. Not so sure that would have been the following the footsteps that I would want to have done. You know, 897 wins and four state titles, and it was your dad who did it. So, you know, good luck to you. That's not an enviable position to be in, but he's got his first state championship, and he will be in the mix for another next year, even though he's losing some great talent. Jarvis Vaughn will come back, and I was just so impressed with the comments that Vaughn made in the post-game press conference, the way he carried himself in the game, the athleticism he showed, the smart decision-making that he showed. He will be. They will have no problem having an on-court leader next year. Vaughn will handle that without a problem. And I fully expect to hear the name Jarvis Vaughn at the collegiate level. Now, will he get to high D1? I don't know. Could he end up at a lower D1 school? Yep. Or D2? Yeah. He'd clean up in D3, and he's still got a year of development to go. So I do expect he may end up in a Division I situation. You know me, if you listen to us or follow our Twitter feeds, we don't do a lot of speculation about where, you know, players are going to go at the next level, how they translate. We focus more on the here and now, and we let other people talk about how, well, they, you know, they may play here, or they may do this, or may they, you know, we don't know. All I know is that if this young man continues to grow, not just physically and athletically, but mentality-wise, from what I was presented at the post-game press conference and during the game on a week ago Thursday night, he'll be one of the top players in the state of Virginia in 2018, and he'll be fun to watch this coming year and also wherever he translates at the next level. So Jarvis Vaughn, my hat's off to you, young man. You left this man very impressed at the state championship. Got a feel for Highland Springs. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, the RVA in me was sitting there courtside Saturday just rooting and hoping that somehow, some way, they could pull off the win finally against Princess Anne and get that elusive state championship, but it just was not meant to be. Princess Anne, I have to tell you this, and I if you'd have told me in Hampton on March 2nd that Princess Anne was going to win the state championship, I may have laughed in your face, and let me quickly explain why. When I arrived at Hampton University to cover the Highland Springs Atlee game and the LC Byrd game too, Princess Anne was at that point playing Edison. Now, Edison was a team that Atlee had a very good chance of beating in the North Region tournament. Had them at home, had a lead. Edison couldn't hit a free throw to save their life in the third quarter, but they got hot at the line when they needed to late to pull away from Atlee, I think, won by 9 points. But Atlee could have won that game. Edison was giving Princess Anne all they can handle. I mean, it was a back-and-forth battle, and they just did not look like the Princess Anne that I had seen in 2014 and 2016. Now, I know there were new pieces to the puzzle, but I just walked away from that particular game going, not impressed. And I could see why Salem beat Princess Anne in the region semis to get to Richmond to play Highland Springs. And then, of course, you know, the big comeback, and Salem won that regional championship. So fast forward to last Saturday, and we get to the state championship game, and it's like a totally different group of people with Cavalier uniforms came out, and they played totally different. It was a night and day difference from what I saw 9 days earlier. And so hats off to the Cavaliers, first team ever to win 4 straight championships. I'm so sad that 3 of them came at the hands of Highland Springs, and the other one came at the hands of Taja Cole and L.C. Byrd in 2015. But they played well. They played very well in Highland Springs that second quarter. It kind of caught up to them there. But the ladies that are leaving Highland Springs and heading off to the next level, CeCe, Cam, Jennifer, some of the best women's basketball at the high school level that I've enjoyed watching. And you think about what they've done over their 4 years there. They were at the state championships 3 times. They were a contender for a state championship in the other year. Did they get the ring? No, but very few do. Very few do. And to accomplish what they have accomplished has been nothing short of remarkable, and we will miss them next year. LC Byrd's boys, what can you say? They began our year Thanksgiving weekend preseason number 1 in the RVA. They withstood every challenge within the RVA. You'll remember the 1-versus-2 battle with Trinity Episcopal. January 21st, at a time where some polls in the area had put Trinity ahead of LC Byrd, even though LC Byrd to that point had not lost, and LC Byrd stretched them out, tired them out, and won the game, and proved why they deserved to be number 1. Now, they had the hiccup with Lansdowne, the 6A team, down to the Virginia Preps Classic, the only loss of the season. And honestly, I thought going through the tournament bracket that their biggest issue probably would be with Albemarle, because Albemarle is kind of a different animal when it comes to how they play, their style of play. It's not something you see every day, and they are very sound technically, fundamentally, and they're very good. And sure enough, it was double overtime in Hampton before Byrd won that game and advanced to the Siegel Center. Bethel a third time. Bethel has some good pieces, but Bethel has never struck me as a team. Bethel has struck me as a group of players with a few good pieces, but I haven't seen them play the way I see a team like LC Byrd play. And LC Byrd, the reason why they won that state championship last Saturday is very simple. To a man, none of them cared who was the leading scorer. None of them cared who got the credit. None of them cared who got the accolades. They had finally really bought into Coach Troy Mann's system, something he talked about having problems with when he took over back in the 2011-2012 season, coming off a season where the last coach and the last team had made it to the state title game and lost. And it took a while for the Mann's philosophy to become galvanized in Chester, but look at what's happened since it did. Last year to the state championship. This year, they get it. So to Mario and to Pinky, and to Tyreek and Giles inside, and to Jalen, and I'll begin missing people now. Excuse me, Jay Robinson, to all the guys on the team. Just a phenomenal job. Really thought in late November that they could make the run and win the title, and they did. And so congratulations to LC Byrd. It was fun to watch them finally hoist the trophy. I'll save the best to last. I mentioned this to someone here recently. I said the game I watched between Monacan and Kings Fork for the 4A Girls State Championship probably was among the five most exciting basketball games I've ever witnessed, period. Period. Not just in girls basketball, not just in high school basketball, but just about in any kind of basketball. Most exciting games I've ever watched. Well, for tops for me is the 83 National Championship game with NC State and Houston. Now, I'm a little biased with that because I'm a lifelong NC State fan. But that game, a game where Houston was favored to just completely destroy NC State, if you know the story, and if you don't, two great ESPN 30 for 30s that you should watch, one called Survive in Advance, which tells it from the NC State side of things, and then another one more recently produced called Phi Slamma Jamma, which tells the story from the Houston side of things. Houston had just come off a national semifinal where it was number one versus number two, two teams that love to run, gun, dunk, I mean, just in-your-face basketball. And both of them ran it. Neither one of them repelled from the idea of playing their brand of game simply because they were intimidated by the other. And Houston was the better team. They won that night 94-81. And after watching those teams, I think Houston had 13 dunks in that game. And, you know, Coach Jim Valvano comes out in the press conference in between days on that Sunday and says, well, we basically, you know, we're going to come out and get the ball on Monday night and we're going to go into a stall and we're not going to take our first shot till Tuesday morning, I think is what he said. But it couldn't have been further from the truth. He told his troops in the locker room before the game, you think we're going to just stall with these guys? We're going to go right after them. We're going to play our brand of basketball. And they had an 8-point lead at the half. Then Houston came out second half on a 10-0 run to take the lead. They built a lead, I believe, as many as 8 points, maybe even 10. And then the altitude of Albuquerque began to become a factor. And Olajuwon had to go on the bench and get oxygen. And when you start seeing those sorts of things and you're on the other side, you're thinking, okay, they're beat. We need to take it to them. And then on top of that, the head coach of Houston, the late Guy Lewis, known for running and gunning, he needs to stall because he's got players tired. He's got Clyde Drexler with four fouls from the first half, and they go into a stall game. And that worked right into NC State's hands. They were able to force a couple of steals. They hit some baskets. They put Alvin Franklin at the free throw line. He missed. And the next thing you know, it's 52-all, 44 seconds left, and NC State's got the ball. Some of the passes precarious in the final seconds. And if you've watched them, you know the end. Wittenberg's long prayer answered by Lorenzo Charles as he grabs the ball out of the air and dunks it to win the national championship at the buzzer. And that was back in the days when they didn't stop and go to the monitor and check the clock. Had that game been played in 2017, Houston probably would have been awarded about 1.7 seconds to try to get an inbounds pass all the way down the court. If you watch the tape, you'll see that Charles's slam came as two became one on the clock, and then the clock just ran out. It did not stop automatically at the end of a shot in the final minute of the game. You notice it does now. It didn't used to do that. And so NC State won the national championship. So to me, that's the most exciting basketball game I've ever watched at any level. And there are some others that I put in there. The Boston-Phoenix triple overtime game in the 76 NBA Finals was absolutely crazy. But probably at number five now is Monacan 60, Kings Fork 59, 4A State Championship Girls 2017. Unbelievable. After scoring just 3 points in the third quarter, Megan Walker, I'm talking about the team, not Megan. I'm talking about the team. Monacan scored 3 points in the third quarter. Unheard of. Unheard of. Anybody walking into Siegel last Friday night and you look at them and go, now Megan and the Chiefs, they're only going to score 3 points in the third quarter. And everybody would look at you and just, you know, die laughing. That's exactly what happened. 11-point deficit. But they never quit. I mean, even 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game, it looked like Kings Fork was going to pull off the upset. Here came the Chiefs. What a performance. And what a shot at the end. And then the ending with the 0.3 seconds and the chance for Kings Fork. And the ball goes in. And so for a brief moment, I'm sitting across from the Kings Fork bench. Thank you. I kept thinking locker room. I'm like, no, it's not the locker room. I'm sitting across from the Kings Fork bench, and some of them start celebrating, thinking, hey, ball's in. We just won. And then the ref that was two at our table, just to my left, comes running in with his arms waving across, and you know what that means. That means no basket. Rule, if you have 0.3 seconds left, the only way you can score is by tipping a ball in. If you grab the ball, hold it, and do anything with it for any length of time, by rule, the clock is going to run out because physiologically it's going to take more than 0.3 seconds to grab hold of the ball and then even take it and push it. Tap means you never even control the ball. It means you just put your fingers on it and send it in another direction, hoping it will go in. It was that close. So Monacan wins their third straight title, and congratulations to that senior class. Absolutely incredible, and I did get a chance real quick to say something to Alex Parson after the postgame press conference. I leaned over to her, and I said, can't wait to see you at the Robbins Center. Alex will join her sister Michaela with the University of Richmond next year, and to watch them play together at least one year is going to be a whole lot of fun. Obviously going to be great to watch Megan, you know, get in at UConn and learn that system and become a contributor, I'm sure, pretty soon. She's too talented to stay on the bench very long. And to watch the others, too. I can't wait. Jaden Morris at Ryder should make an immediate impact, et cetera, et cetera. But what a run it's been. Let me tell you this, fans. 2017-18, it's going to be a transition year in girls basketball here in the Richmond area. Monacan is losing the class, and they're going to have to kind of start all over again. Highland Springs is losing the class, and I know it's a smaller class. It's three as opposed to five, but there's going to be a lot of change there, too. We're not going to have, likely, teams preseason that we look at and go, okay, they'll go unbeaten, or okay, they'll definitely make the championship. We may get two or three teams that make it to Siegel next year, and we may get none. It is going to be a year where we begin to see new talent arrive, new talent rise up, and it's going to be a bit of a transitional year. We're not going to have, I don't believe, the dominant teams like we've had in Monacan and Highland Springs the last 2 years. So girls basketball 2017-2018 is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of talent, but it's going to be a season of change, and I hope you're ready for it. The boys on the other side, maybe lesser extent of that, but there's going to be some change there too. LC Bird kind of grew, and the crescendo was for this year, and they made it, and now they're going to have to kind of rebuild. The team that strikes me the most as having a chance to maybe build on what they did this year is Verina, because, yeah, they lose a couple of big pieces, but they got some pretty big pieces coming back. Godwin was senior-laden. Hermitage had a lot of seniors on their team. Trinity Episcopal over on the private school side, they're going to lose a couple of guys, but Armando's back. Jason Wade will be back, and so they've got the nucleus for a team that can compete for another state championship, so they'll be good. But it's going to be a different year for basketball, especially on the girls' side next year, so be ready for that. Going to be a different ride for all of us come November. Now let's talk about the ride we are on between now and June 10th, when we will crown state champions in baseball, softball, soccer, and lacrosse. Spring sports season underway. Let us unveil our first RVA Sports Network Top 10 Baseball and Softball Polls. We'll begin with baseball, and we'll move up from 10 to 1. We also have a category called In the Mix, which are teams that finish just outside of our Top 10, and we'll keep that going into the regular season as well. Baseball Top 10, here we go. We start with teams just outside of our top 10 poll that we have our eyes on early on in the season. They include two private schools, two public schools, and two schools who played each other just the other day. St. Christopher's, Motueka, Collegiate, and Goochland. St. Christopher's had a 1-0 win over Goochland, so the Bulldogs are 1-1. Now to our top 10. At number 10, a perennial top 10 baseball team for many years, the Rebels of Douglas Freeman, who are off to a 2-0 start, and I think this team is going to be hungrier than many Rebels teams have been in the last several years because of how last year ended. Very disappointing, losing in the first round of the Conference 11 tournament, something that they, I don't believe, had done in the previous 2 years of the Conference 11 format, and if you even go back prior to that into the old Colonial District days, which will return next year, I don't think Douglas Freeman hardly an early out. And so they are 2-0 on the young season. They beat Henrico. They beat Thomas Jefferson of Alexandria on Saturday. Their game with Highland Springs ended up being postponed because they had lightning delays and weather delays, and then another big round of rain came in Saturday night, and they said that's it. So hopefully they'll be able to make up that game. That would be a good game for the Highland Springs team, which is a young team with some talent. That would have been a great game for them to really get a gauge on where they are. So Douglas Freeman at number 10 at 2-0. Number 9, the Cosby Titans, perennial favorite in 6A and in the Conference 3. Of course, they made it all the way to the state semis last year up at Robinson Secondary School. They've defeated Midlothian. They've lost to Manchester. They're 1-1, and they take on Clover Hill on Tuesday. Number 8, a very young team, but a team that's got some special talent and could go a pretty far way, and we believe are battling Metoaka for supremacy in Conference 12, and that is the Prince George Royals. The Royals of Prince George had a good year last year. Tevin Tucker will come back and lead them, only a junior, but boy, he's got some pretty special talent. Some people already talking about him in the same sentence as Jackie Bradley Jr. I wouldn't go that far yet. Let's give the young man a chance to enjoy his high school years, and then we'll see what the future holds for him, if that's what he wants to do. But Tevin will be the leader of this team, Prince George 1-0 on the young season, and again, expect them and Metoaka to battle for supremacy in Conference 12. At number 7, already 2-0 on the young season, and will be a competitor in Conference 3 with a win over Cosby and also a win over River Bend, another 6A school, Manchester. The Lancers are number 7 in our top 10 baseball poll. At number 6, a team that has not played yet. They've lost some players to graduation, but they have some good players coming back. They've got a ton of arms on the roster. The question will be how Coach Savino uses them, and can some of the youth coming up take the place of those who have departed to graduation? We're talking about the Jaguars of Glenn Allen, who won the 2015 4A state championship before they were reclassified to 5A into Conference 11. They will be in the mix in what will be a crazy Conference 11 this season. We've got 3 Conference 11 teams in our top 10 poll. And there are 4 Conference 11 teams in our top 10 poll. And there's a couple of others who could be heard from before all is said and done. But Glenn Allen opens their season Monday with J.R. Tucker, who beat Deep Run 1-0 on Friday, which raised a lot of eyebrows when that score went out on Twitter on Friday night. So Glenn Allen, J.R. Tucker on Monday, and then Glenn Allen host Douglas Freeman on Tuesday night. Weather permitting, we plan to be at that game, number 10 Douglas Freeman and number 6 Glenn Allen, Tuesday night at Glenn Allen High School. So the Jags open up on Monday, and they are number 6. Another team that did not get to open up their season this past week was supposed to start a Deep Run Thursday, and the game got, first there was rain, then there was cold, and then there was unplayable field conditions, and so they just moved it, and hopefully they'll get to play later in the year. Lee Davis. Now, Lee Davis loses Justin Sorokowski to Florida State, and that's a big loss. And they had some other senior losses, too. But they've got some players coming back, and they've got 2 pitchers back in the mix who are going to make a big difference. They've got one of the better 1-2 pitching punches in the area. And if some of the younger players can get together and get going rather quickly, Lee Davis could be a top contender in Conference 11. They were a semifinalist last year, and they are 5th in our current poll. Number 4, the highest-ranking private school team and the only private school team to make our top 10, 2 others in the mix just outside, the Cadets of Benedictine, who are already 3-1 on the season. Private schools get their season started a little bit earlier. They've had a little less problem with the weather. Their lone loss to Greenbrier Christian, but they're 3-1, and the Cadets are number 4. At number 3, getting an opening win over Henrico after struggling a bit defensively on Friday, the Mills Godwin Eagles. Would consider them right now the early top pick in Conference 11, but again, that conference could get topsy-turvy in a hurry. Godwin, Lee Davis, Glenn Allen, and Douglas Freeman, all in our top 10 poll, all in Conference 11, and we're not talking about Deep Run and J.R. Tucker, who beat Deep Run on Friday night. So that's 6 deep, fans. Conference 11 is going to be something to watch. And right now we've got Mills Godwin pegged as the top contender for the conference, and they are third in our poll. And as it turns out, and we did not know this because this poll was finalized earlier on Sunday, but we did not know at the time when we were getting those great updates from Ryan over at James River Friday night and giving you updates on Chesterfield Sports and Henrike and now Hanover Sports on Twitter. We had no idea that it was actually a game between 1 versus 2. Our number two team, even though they're 0-1, James River. James River's got some good arms coming back. They've got good experience. They are consistent. If they are anything else, they are consistent, and they will be a tough out for everybody in Conference 3, including Manchester, Cosby, et cetera, et cetera. And they took Hanover to 8 innings before losing 3-2 on Friday. James River will be a team that has an opportunity if they do things right, and some the balls go their way sometimes. If they can get out of Conference 3 alive, you know, you got Manchester, you got Cosby. That's already a pretty crazy mix right there. But, you know, James River could be the one to finally make it to Robinson Secondary School the second Friday and Saturday in June. So we'll see. But the Rapids begin our season at number 2. And then number 1, they've won 3 out of the last 4 state championships. The first one was the final group AAA championship in 2013. They've won 4A state titles in 14 and now 16. The Hawks of Hanover, who are 1-0 after beating James River on Friday night on the road to get their season underway. A couple of interesting notes about Hanover. They go to Verina on Friday, and as of this moment, we are planning to go there to cover that game live. On Twitter, at Hanover Sports and Henrico Sports. Mark a calendar for April 13th. That's the Thursday of spring break. Liberty Christian Academy is scheduled to come up to Hanover, and it will be a rematch of that unbelievably crazy 4A state championship game from last year, where Hanover was up and it looked like it was all over, and then Liberty Christian came back and took the lead. Then Hanover bounced back and took the lead. Excuse me, and then LCA came up and scored 3 runs in the 7th, and Hanover had to get a strikeout with the tying run aboard to win the state title 13-12 in one of the craziest baseball games you'll ever see. Well, those two teams are scheduled to play in a rematch in the regular season, and that'll take place at Hanover on the night of April the 13th. But that is our baseball top 10 preseason poll. Douglas Freeman at 10, Cosby at 9, Prince George at 8, Manchester at 7, Glen Allen 6, the top 5, Lee Davis, Benedictine, Mills, Godwin, James River, and number 1, Hanover. Now to softball. We've had a chance already to see several of these teams in action, either in scrimmage or regular season play, and we really look forward to softball really cranking up this week, weather permitting. In the mix and just outside of our top 10, Hanover, Thomas Dale, and J.R. Tucker, who had a nice win on Friday night over Deep Run, 5-1. Don't sleep on J.R. Tucker this year. They've got some pieces. Now, Conference 11 is difficult. You got to deal with Glen Allen. You got to deal with Lee Davis. They've already dealt with Deep Run. You got to play them again, though, in that Colonial District head-to-head. They've got Mills Godwin to deal with. But watch out. J.R. Tucker could make some noise this year. Thomas Dale over in Conference 3. Hanover going to be fighting 2 other teams in Conference 20 that they could not vanquish last year and are in our top 10 to start this year. But the Hawks had a very impressive road win 7-2 over James River Friday to start their season. Now to our top 10. At number 10, Cosby, a team that did a Cinderella run to the state semifinals a year ago before falling a game short of the state championship game, which, had they made it, would have been their third state title game appearance in 5 years. They won in 2012, and they lost in 2014. They've got some young arms on that staff, but Coach Ray Jeter always has a good team. They lost Saturday at Franklin County, another team that's going to have something to say about Conference 3 this year. So they're 1-1, and they got some pretty interesting games coming up this week, including one we'll talk about in a moment. At number 9, Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie opens 0-1. They lost 6-4 to Conference 20 rival Powhatan at the end of the week. We expect Dinwiddie and Powhatan, with Hanover just behind them, to battle for supremacy in that conference. So Dinwiddie at number 9. At number 8, Clover Hill, 1-0 on the season, another contender in crazy Conference 3. That Conference 3 is going to be unbelievable. There's not a bad team out of the 6. There just isn't. It's going to be a great season. I think you're going to see teams knock each other off, especially those in the Dominion District who have to play each other twice. Manchester, Cosby, Clover Hill, and James River. You know, Thomas Dale doesn't have to worry about that. Franklin County doesn't have to worry about that. And so maybe they, if they play well in their district schedules, could be the beneficiary come seeding time in the conference tournament if the other four teams beat each other up in Dominion District regular season play. Another reason why we'll be glad when the conferences finally die and we get back to districts in 2017-18. Clover Hill's 1-0. They host number 10 Cosby on Tuesday. Top 10 battle Tuesday afternoon. That'll be a good one. Hannah Hall, who pitched so well for them last year, now pitching lights out as a freshman at Virginia Wesleyan. She's already been named a National Pitcher of the Week in Division III. That's how good she's been. So obviously they're going to miss her tons, but they've got a lot coming back, led by Coral Kreitzer. Don't count out the Cavaliers. There are three teams in Conference 3 in our top 10 poll, which means we still have one to go. At number 7, Prince George, off to a 2-0 start, 5A South Regional semifinalist last year, lost a classic region semifinal to Lee Davis, a game that they were leading and it looked like they might be winning. Lee Davis comes back, Logan Hawker with a home run that will live forever in Lee Davis lore, and Lee Davis comes back for the victory. Prince George loses some pieces to graduation, but they've got a lot of good pieces coming back, and it's kind of a mix of veteran and youth in the circle. They're able to get the right mix out of that, and they could be the favorite to win Conference 12, and it might not even be close. So Prince George at number 7 at 2-0. At number 6, Conference 20, favorites. They defeated Dinwiddie 6-4 already, so they're 1-0, and that is Powhatan. Powhatan will still, I believe, get Hanover in a game here in the not-too-distant future. So if they could win that game, they certainly would have a game in hand on the top contenders in the conference. Powhatan, a lot of firepower coming back from a team that went far in 4A last year and can go far again this year. Top 5 in softball looks like this. Number 5, Manchester, finally get their season started on Monday. They host Cosby. So here's number 10 Cosby having to play number 5 Manchester on Monday and number 8 Clover Hill on Tuesday. Got to see Manchester play a scrimmage against Atlee a couple of Mondays ago, and they looked very good. They held their own against Atlee for 6-7 innings, and Atlee was able to break and get a few runs, I believe, off one of the they had already made a couple pitching changes at this particular point, but when it comes to Manchester's A game, they're going to be among the best. They certainly are going to contend in Conference 3. And this may be finally the year that they do some serious breaking through in 6A South as well. Early test, hosting a Cosby team coming off a 12-6 loss to Franklin County on Saturday. That game's on Monday afternoon, the season opener for the number 5 Lancers. Number 4, the Glen Allen Jaguars, a team that has been good almost since the school's inception. The first season that they played softball was 2011. They were already competing in the Capital District by 2012 and 2013. And this year, they got the battery back one more time of Julia Fritz and Cammie Brummett. They're going to anchor everything. Excuse me. And if they are able to get some consistent offense and they play good defense behind Fritz and how Brummett is a field general on the field for that defense and for the pitching, Glen Allen is going to be neck and neck, we believe, with Lee Davis in Conference 11. We'll explain why when we talk about Lee Davis in a moment. This veteran squad is going to push Lee Davis at the top of Conference 11. Glen Allen will start their season Tuesday night against Douglas Freeman. They are nothing to nothing right now, but they are number 4 in our poll. And then our top 3, a very unique situation. The top 3 schools in our softball poll all reside from Hanover County. Hanover County softball has been among the most dominant stories in high school sports this decade in the central region. You had Lee Davis win the state title in 2011. You had Patrick Henry come achingly close to winning it, losing in a 10-inning classic to Cosby, 3-2 in 2012. And so they end up second back in the old group AAA format. The only year since 2011 where a Hanover County team did not appear at least in the state semifinals was 2013 when Atlee lost in the what used to be Old State quarterfinal round. In 2014, Patrick Henry made it back to the state semis and lost at that point. In 2015, as you might remember, both Atlee and Patrick Henry made it to the 5A state semis, ending up playing each other. Atlee out of 5A South, PH out of 5A North. Atlee won, and then they beat Hickory to win that championship. And then last year, history almost repeated itself. Atlee came again out of the North. Lee Davis came out of the South. And you had a situation because Atlee had moved to the North for that two-year cycle into Conference 16. And so Atlee from the North instead of the South, Lee Davis takes over in the South. They end up meeting each other in the state semis. Atlee wins and then beats Hickory for their second state championship. So there has been Hanover County softball in June for 5 out of the last 6 years at least the semifinal level. And we've got three teams that we could argue, all of them in 5A, we could make definitive arguments for all three of them. We believe that they could go and win a state championship this year. We begin with number three, and that's the Patriots of Patrick Henry. They are 1-0. They took care of Hermitage on Friday in their opener. They were scheduled to play Louisa to start the season on Tuesday, and that game was rained out. They were a region quarterfinalist in 5A North last year. Charlotte Mitchell, their pitcher, 8-4 last season, but hurt during the heart of the campaign, so didn't get a full season in the circle. She's back. Grayson Radcliffe, senior season commit to Marshall University. She is back. Autumn Sleemaker, outfielder, had a power-hitting freshman season leading off the lineup in the scrimmage that we were at, and I think Autumn is going to be ready for a breakout season. Add in Haley Thomas at first base and a host of others who have the opportunity to really put it up offensively. And if Charlotte Mitchell can stay healthy and give them the innings that they need, Patrick Henry will be heard from in Conference 16. They're number three. Number two, the Confederates of Lee Davis. They have yet to start their season. Were supposed to at Deep Run Thursday. Game got pushed back due to field conditions. They were a 5A state semifinalist last year. They lost their battery, and that's hard to replace sometimes. Kylie Stonebreaker and Brooke Martin both graduate. Both off to college. Kylie's still playing competitively at the University of New Haven in Connecticut. Kaylee Scott will come in and fill the circle. The senior will get her opportunity finally at Lee Davis. And behind the plate, they'll bring in Logan Hawker. The power-hitting outfielder comes behind the plate, and I think you're going to see her take more of an active, and I want to say active in the sense of vocal, field general role. I loved Brooke Martin. I told her mom, I said, I used to call her the silent assassin because watching Brooke play, she's a catcher, she's controlling her pitcher, she's controlling the defense, but she hardly ever spoke. She didn't have to speak, especially in her relationship with Kylie Stonebreaker. It was amazing to watch. Brooke was the antithesis of Rain Wilson at Atlee, who's now at James Madison. Rain, constantly talking to the batter, talking to the umpire, talking to herself, talking to the pitcher, talking to the third baseman, talking to the vendor back at concessions. She was fun to watch for the totally opposite reason of Brooke. They could not have been more different, and they did such incredible jobs. And now both teams have to find replacements for them. But Hawker comes in at catcher for Lee Davis. Kaylee Scott, hearing good things about her, she does the job. They've got tons and tons of offense. Lee Davis is going to put up a lot of runs this year. They're going to be a hard test for every pitcher that they face. And Lee Davis will finally get their season started this week. And number one, as expected, they are, after all, the two-time defending 5A state champions, the Raiders of Atlee. They started their season with a win against Douglas Freeman Friday night. 21-0 was the final, so the Raiders are 1-0. They play at Midlothian on Monday. We'll have live tweet coverage of that game on Hanover Sports and Chesterfield Sports. Yes, they lost Rain Wilson to graduation. They lost Taylor Sandiford to graduation. They lost Laura Kate Moss to graduation. So now this year, it's all Peyton St. George. It is her circle in her senior season. And it'll be up to her to provide more innings than she's had to in the last 2 years, because there would be nights they'd spot start Moss, or nights where Moss would start and Peyton would come in later, or Peyton would start and then Lara would work the back end. That option is no longer there. So I think Peyton is relishing the opportunity to be the number one, and know that every time she gets the ball, it is up to her. She's pitched them to two state championships. She'd love to make it a third. Up the middle there, defensively and offensively, Casey Barrett, the Virginia Tech commit at short, and Jordan Durbin, the breakout softball player for the entire area last year, coming in at second base, hitting for power, a very surprising season from Jordan. Jordan is back as a junior. Good things are going to be coming from her as well. So up the middle, you replace the catcher, and you're fine the rest of the way because you've got Kelly Warren back in center field. Kelly had a huge night against Douglas Freeman on Friday offensively, and Kelly, one of the fastest softball players you'll ever see, so she covers unbelievable ground in center field. So that's it. Our top 10 softball poll looks like this. Cosby at 10, Dinwiddie at 9, Clover Hill at 8, Prince George at 7, Powhatan 6, Manchester 5, Glen Allen 4, Patrick Henry 3, Lee Davis 2, Atlee 1. Hanover County trifecta at the top of the poll. Our polls will be released every Sunday during the regular season here on the Central Region Now podcast, and then posted later on Sunday night at RVASportsNetwork.com. All right, before we wrap up this edition of Central Region Now, a quick look ahead at the week that is to come and what we plan to be doing. And please note that a couple of things have precluded us from getting our broadcast schedule back up and running. We planned to be broadcasting last week, and then we got the sickness in February, and I literally lost my voice for a month, and it's almost back. As you'll note, I've had some issues with it here on the podcast here. This is the most I've spoken at one time since late January. So we're hoping that we'll survive this, and as long as the voice sounds good tomorrow, then we can really start reaching out to ADs and getting schedules up and running. We hope to have broadcasts beginning next week, the week of the 27th, and we'll have live broadcast of baseball, softball, soccer, and lacrosse leading all the way up to the end of the regular season, excuse me again, live here on RVA Sports Network on our YouTube channel. So for those of you who have been looking at our websites and going, okay, when are you going to start broadcasting again? It's coming. I promise it's coming. We had planned to broadcast a couple of games this past week, and then the weather messed things up. Right now, here's where we plan to be this week, live on RVASN on Twitter. Monday afternoon, we'll be in Midlothian for Atlee Midlothian Baseball and Softball. They get going at 4:30, and then we'll head over quickly to Clover Hill, where Atlee and Clover Hill Girls Soccer should be a very good matchup. Two teams that could be in our initial Super 6 poll in 2 weeks. They get going at 7 o'clock. Tuesday night, weather permitting, we'll be at Glen Allen. Glen Allen versus Douglas Freeman, baseball, softball, lacrosse, I believe soccer as well. So a huge night of Rebels Jaguars. And so Henrico Sports will be rocking and rolling on Twitter on Tuesday. Wednesday night, we're at Deep Run. Patrick Henry comes to Deep Run for softball and baseball. That'll be a good game on both ends. And Atlee comes in boys lacrosse to take on Deep Run. That game starts at 7:30. The softball and baseball games are at 6. So we'll be at baseball, softball, and then hopefully be able to catch the tail end of the lacrosse match. And updates on all three on Hanover Sports and Henrico Sports. Thursday night, we go to Lee Davis, where Glen Allen and Lee Davis come in for softball action at 6 p.m. That'll be number 4 at number 2. Fantastic matchup. And then girls lacrosse at 7:30, which we'll hope to give you updates on as well. With the game at Lee Davis, we should be able to just turn right around in the softball place and be able to give you score updates from that. And then Friday night, we plan to be at Verina, where Hanover will be there to take on Verina in both baseball and softball. That gets going at 7 p.m. As soon as we get broadcasts scheduled, we will post them on all of our websites and give you updates on Twitter on that. We're going to try to get to as many teams as possible. Couple of quick broadcast and housekeeping notes as we close. Number one, if you don't see your team, your score on Twitter after the game, if you're a member of that team and you don't see it, or if you're a fan of that school and you don't see it, and you're like, why not? The reason is the coach or the coaches or whoever they assign to send scores to have not sent us that information. So if you're a player and you know the final score of the game, you haven't seen it, and you want us to know, just send us a quick tweet or just send us a quick DM. We do everything in our power to try to get as many scores as possible from the coaching staffs all across the Metro Richmond area. Some we get them, some we don't. We continue that fight and continue that trial to try to give you the most information that we possibly can. So if you don't see what you're looking for, ask about it. And if you were there, let us know. And if you go to a game and want to keep us posted and be a reporter, it's as simple as sending us a few tweets or a few DMs while you're sitting there enjoying the game. And you can be a part of the RBA Sports Network. All right, fans, we had a lot to talk about in this edition of Central Region Now. And speaking of which, we totally forgot to mention this. And this debuts Monday, a brand new way to start your day. It is the mini podcast, AMRVA, an exclusive presentation of the RVA Sports Network. We know that many of you, you start your day, you turn on a podcast, or you turn on your iPod, or you turn on Spotify or Pandora or whatever. You don't read the newspaper. You don't turn on the television. If you did turn on the television, you wouldn't get any local sports coverage. You turn on the radio, but even if you turn on one of the sports stations on the radio, you're liable not to get any local sports coverage there at all, and especially when I'm talking about that, I mean at the high school level. Now, obviously, you know, if VCU basketball played last night, they will probably be talking about that. But if Highland Springs played Prince George last night, you're not going to hear it on the radio. So we decided here at the RVA Sports Network, let's take advantage of one of the talents that we have, and that's the ability to do radio. And that's the ability to get information out in a different way. And so you won't have to go to iTunes and download. You won't have to do this. There won't be no three-step process to this. It'll be very simple. Every morning, we will tweet a link to the morning podcast, AMRVA. You hit that link, and then it goes to the podcast, and you press play. And if you're in your car heading to school, if you're in your car heading to work, if you're on the bus heading to school, put the buds in the ears, and we promise you the day ahead in 4 minutes or less. We'll also update you on late-night happenings in sports, any weather issues you may encounter in the day ahead, and any other news that you may need to know. So if you want to get your day started the quickest way, the most comprehensive way, and the right way, all you have to do is sit back and listen, and we'll bring it to you. Follow us on Twitter. The link will be there. You pop it up, and there it is. So AMRVA, the brand new way to start your day, the mini podcast from the RVA Sports Network, every day, 7 days a week, beginning Monday morning. It'll be on a Twitter link on all four of our Twitter feeds, at Chesterfield Sports, at Hanover Sports, at Henrico Sports, and at the RVA Sportsnet. And it will also be, posted at the top of the page every morning at RVASportsNetwork.com. That's RVASportsNetwork.com. Just another way that we want to serve you and get you the information that you need to know. Thanks, folks, for being with us. The top 10 polls that we debuted here on the podcast will be up and running on RVASportsNetwork.com Sunday evening. And again, we'll have the polls here on the podcast every Sunday and posted on the website every Sunday evening. And our Super 6 polls in boys and girls lacrosse and boys and girls soccer, they get started 2 weeks from today, April 2nd. April 2nd will be the first release for them. Central Region Now, an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network, and is intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast other use of the podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is strictly prohibited. Hopefully, weather will help us out this week. It looks like Tuesday night's the only iffy night right now. And we're going to be out and about. We'll see you at Midlothian, Clover Hill, Glen Allen, Deep Run, Lee Davis, and Verina this week as we continue rocking and rolling on the RVA Sports Network. Rob Witham saying have a good one.